Good morning. At this time, we're going to ask everyone to please turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Again, that's chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verses 32. And it reads, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." May God add a blessing to the hearer and doers of his holy word.
Good morning. It's definitely an honor and privilege to be here today. I trust everyone is in a sound mind and is happy to be here. So this morning I would like to talk on the subject, the parable of the unmerciful servant. See, when you think about forgiveness is something that we all want. But when it comes to forgiving others, at times it may be difficult. But the scriptures say we must forgive as Christ, for God's sake, forgave us. And that should take us back to the cross when Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups. So in Romans 4 and verse 25, the Bible says that Jesus was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised for our justification. So that lets us know, since we all have sinned and we all have come short at some point in time, Christ died on the cross so we could be forgiven. I ask that you turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 18, and this is where we're going to take our lesson from this morning. We do thank all the visitors that have come our way. We know that you could have been anywhere, and we're thankful that for your presence, we hope that something will be said that will be beneficial and helpful to you. If you have any questions or concerns about anything, we do stand ready, willing, and able to assist and to discuss those things. Lieutenant Colonel Norman McWane once said, happiness not so much in having as sharing. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. 2 points about gifts. At the highest values, gifts are sacrificial in nature. Tangible gifts are easier to give than intangible gifts. In benevolent work, it's easier to give money than a couple of days each month. In mission work, it's easier to send support than to be a part of the mission team for a couple of weeks. In marriage, it's easier to give gifts than to give intimacy. Kind words, encouragement, patience are difficult gifts to bestow. One of these intangible gifts that can be difficult to give is forgiveness. I want you to meet me in Matthew 18 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, as in touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." As you think about forgiveness, I would ask you, just to ponder within the confines of your mind, is there anything or anyone you have not forgiven? When you think about forgiveness is tough to give, but we should be willing to give forgiveness because we all need it. But if you fail to forgive others, do you realize that the Lord himself will not forgive you? For the same standard that you use, he will use against you. Now, when you think about forgiveness, you have to think about the standard of forgiveness, that being Christ. I want you to flip back in Matthew chapter 6. I want you to see something in this verse that I think if we consider this and ponder this when we think about folks that mistreat us, If we reflect upon this verse as well as Ephesians 4 and verse 32, I think it would give us a different mindset. In Matthew 6 and verse 14, Jesus speaking says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's pretty plain. Jesus states, if you forgive others, he will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, he will refuse to forgive you. So when you think about this, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 18. See, this is going to set up the lesson. And when you think about it, verse 20 said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Do you find comfort in knowing that the Lord is in the midst of us? We are gathered together in his name. And I'm so appreciative of how the song and hymns and everything have been done so far. It seems like folks are excited to be here. Verse 21. After Jesus teaches that we should forgive, Peter then arrived and said, verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times?" See, when you think about Peter saying till seven times, and all in one, I did a little study on that. Peter knew that a brother could repent and forgiveness would need to be forgiven. He wondered how often it was to be done. When Peter came to the Lord and asked him, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Peter understood and knew that the rabbis taught that forgiveness should be extended three times. Peter doubled their requirement and added one. He thought he was being extremely generous. He did extend forgiveness to the perfect number of seven. Jesus, however, taught Peter and his disciples that forgiveness ought to be limitless. Look at verse 22. Jesus said unto him, "I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Now, when I look at 70 times 7, you know, that's quite a lot if you actually were to multiply that and think about that. You know, when you think about it, in other words, I don't think we're going to count to 490 if someone sins against us. But in other words, I kind of look at it like this, you know, as many times as someone needs to be forgiven and they come and they ask for forgiveness, we have a requirement to forgive. See, that's the requirement as well as the expectation. See, forgiveness is just like this. It's like this. It's letting go. That's true forgiveness. You let it go. But see, when you sit and you hold on to it, you might say, well, this person did this. They're not sorry. But the scripture is plain. If they come and they ask, we ought to forgive. Now, as you think about this, let's continue on. In the midst of this, Jesus, because of Peter's until seven taught, because of Peter's question, Jesus taught, verse 23. He taught a parable known as the unmerciful servant or the parable of the unforgiving servant. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would make account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." Now you look at that. That's a deep debt. That is a very deep debt, because I continue to do some more studies in regards to that. And if you were to know, I don't know if you know this, but I learned this. The exact amount of the debt is hard to determine. Reason being, it's difficult to determine the exact dollar amount because of the debt, because the amount of talent is not known. It was an amount more than a servant would ever be able to pay. We know, for example, that the annual taxation of all of Israel was about 800 talents, making the servant's debt more than 10 times the taxes of an entire nation. Now, if his debt was greater than 10 times more than an entire nation, that is a huge debt. But look at verse 25. "But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant fell down, therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, when you look at this, we too have a debt that is large. It's a deep debt. It's a debt that we never could pay. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we have a debt that we couldn't pay, and Christ was the only person that could pay this debt. So when you look at this, we also need to put ourselves in the frame of mind that sometimes we will come up short. Sometimes we will owe more than we can pay. But we should also have the mindset and appreciation that Christ is the one that can forgive us. You know, he has a great mercy. Look at verse 26. Then the servant therefore fell down, worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, have you ever loaned someone money and they didn't pay you back? Would you forgive them? Or would you hold that against them? See, when it comes to money, we all can be a little funny. Because when, hey, look, if we give someone something and they tell you they're going to pay you back, many times you have the expectation that it's coming back. And when that money don't come back, then your attitude and your mindset change. Let's say, for instance, a brother or sister in Christ, then you become, there's a tension. It's hard for you to worship because you say they owe me money. But when you look at it, if they ask you to forgive you, if they ask you for grace, are you willing to just let it go? Like God said that we should do. Amen. Now this man, none of us have been owed the amount of money that this individual owed his Lord. None of us. But some of us, when we've been owed money and it's made us feel a certain way, we've changed our attitude. We put this person on a blackball list. Meaning if you see them come in and they got their hair done, you saying to yourself, that's my money. Meaning if they, I'm just being honest. That's how we look at some things, but is that the right mindset when it comes to what God says and what he expects? See, this man asks, can you forgive me? I will repay you. Be patient with me. But when you look at it, do you have the mindset to be as gracious as the Lord was in this text? See, it's important to forgive. See, the key ingredient of forgiveness was the Lord's compassion. The word compassion originates from two words. Come with passion to suffer. Thus, compassion means to suffer with. Our Lord loves us and suffers with us in our afflictions, distress, and even our sins. His love and compassion and mercy are magnanimous. Riches of his goodness of forbearance can be seen throughout the Bible. The Lord provides great mercy. He's rich in mercy, Ephesians 2 and verse 4. He provides abundant grace, 1 Peter 1 and 3. See, when you think about grace and the riches of his grace and you think about love, it's all about how we perceive what we've been forgiven for. See, if we've been forgiven of a lot of things, then we have a tendency to be more willing to forgive others. See, sometimes we can be forgiven of things and then we forget what we've been forgiven of. See, as you look at it, let's look at verse 28. See, we have a trivial transgression. Now, we've already seen that this man owed 10,000 talents. Don't forget the first amount, 10,000 talents. And the entire tax for Israel was 800 talents. So he owed more than 10,000 than the entire nation. So he had a huge debt. A debt he probably would never be able to pay. Unless he maybe won the lottery or something like that. But they didn't have that back during that time. But verse 28. But the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay that thou owest. Now, if you've been forgiven of a great debt, why would you find someone who owes 100 pence, grab them by their neck, grab them by their throat, and tell them to pay you what you owe? How soon did he forget? See, the scripture indicate that it doesn't appear that it was a long time afterwards. After he was rebuked and he fell down and asked for compassion, this man said, no, no, no. I want my money. In relationships, we are going to get hurt by others. They're going to say or do something that involves a transgression against us from time to time. These offenses can be described with the words, which owe 100 pence. That would amount to approximately 3 to 4 months' wages. The transgressions of others against us are minor when compared to our transgressions against God. See, when you think about the transgressions of others against you, and then when you think about your transgressions against God, there's no comparison. But since there's no comparison, then that should give us a different mindset when it comes to folks coming up short. Do we not all come up short from time to time? Sometimes we can make projections or we can assume that this is going to happen, and then you have life that happens. Maybe you borrowed some money and say, I'm going to pay you back, but then all of a sudden you drive in your car, you get a flat. The money that you were going to pay someone back, you now have a choice, either pay this person back or fix your tire. What's the person going to do? 9 out of 10 times, maybe they might pick up the phone and call and say, hey, look, I have a choice. I can pay you your money or I can get my tire fixed so I can go to work and be able to pay you at a later date. But it all depends on how you look at it. It is often difficult to keep this in perspective as we live our daily lives. Because if folks continuously hit you up and say they're going to do stuff and they don't do what they're supposed to do, if you don't change your mindset or attitude about giving, then you can become very mad. You can become very angry. You can become very judgmental. So it's all about how you look at it. See, let's look at an aggressive action. Look at verse 29. And this fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Does that sound familiar? He's saying the very same thing that he said. Verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him in prison till he should pay the debt. Now, the golden rule of the Bible says we ought to treat others the way we would like to be treated. I often wonder what happened to this man's mindset. Did he forget that he was forgiven of the 10,000 talents of a debt? Now, when he was forgiven, that means it was forgotten. And then someone who owes him 100 pence, he came and grabbed him and said, pay me what you owe. Do we ever do things like that? Is our mindset ever that way? See, sometimes, you know, we can look at different things. And I've looked at myself, and I'm preaching this to you guys, but I've preached this to myself over and over because I've seen the inconsistencies in how I can treat others based off circumstances or situations. And I find this to be a very helpful passage that exposes the true how mankind can be. Because we all have things that are pet peeves to us that can really cause us to really be unforgiving, unloving, and all those type things. Or we might say, you know what, I'm not going to forgive this person until they come and ask for my forgiveness. Now, have you ever thought, if you have a problem with someone, if they've done something wrong to you, you have to first notify them, right? So if you don't notify them and they don't know that you have a problem, you're walking around, you're angry, you're upset, placing your soul in danger and haven't taken the time to go, hey, look, you know what, to give forgiveness shouldn't be cheap. Yes, a person must come to make the situation right. But if they don't know that they've did something wrong against you, you must take it upon yourself and have a difficult conversation. Don't just say that I'm going to forgive them even though they didn't ask. No, the scriptures don't say that. You go to your brother and you let them know that there's an issue, there's a problem, so you can work those things through. See, problems present opportunities for us to grow. There are two thoughts that come to mind. How quickly we forget what the Lord has done for us. Have you ever forgot what the Lord has done for you? Maybe you say yes to Jesus, you put him on in baptism, then the next thing you know, you're right back in the world doing what you used to do. See, when you look at it, you know, I love football a lot. But I was thinking about football. I was just thinking this week, how excited do a lot of men get about football season? They're excited. They plan their weekends. They do their chores early. They position themselves. They buy food. They buy all these things so they can watch the game. And I often ask myself, when it comes to serving God, these same men that are so excited, do they have that same zeal when it comes to worshiping God, to being in his house, serving him? See, then you got to ask yourself, is football a distraction? See, have you ever asked yourself, why does the NFL games, why are they all there on Sunday? If you ever thought about it, football is a distraction because it is the Lord's day. Now, I do come and I worship the Lord on those days, and when I get home, I watch the games. But there are some men and women, some people that will not come to worship services because when football season comes, you know what? They're distracted. I'm going to watch the game, but God is saying, if you love me, why don't you have that same type of zeal? I've seen some, and I can be honest myself, celebrate. I've seen folks celebrate when football games are on. Men lose their voice, screaming at the TV. One time I was watching Georgia play a game, and I was so excited, I scared my daughter. But then I asked myself this question. Do I have that same type of excitement when it comes to serving God? Do I have that same type of passion? Do I have that same type of zeal? See, when you look at these type things, you know, we can sit there and say, yeah, God, you're the priority. But is he really a priority when we plan our day around football instead of planning our day around the Lord's work?
That's right.
I can answer for me, you answer for you. How mean and cruel can we be to our fellow man? See, when you look at it, he took him by the throat. Have you ever been taken by the throat? This wasn't a let me talk to you. He laid hands on him. Then I'm wondering how big or how small this person is. Let's say, suppose this person was, I'll use D'Angelo because I think he can take it. D'Angelo, let's say this was D'Angelo. Now, if I had a choice to have two people grab my throat, if I had to choose between D'Angelo and Brother Chris, I'm going to choose Brother Chris because D'Angelo's much bigger. So when I'm looking at things like this, I kind of visualize, I don't know if it's a big person or a small person or a strong person or a weak person, but let's say it's a strong person. Grab you by your throat. Can you imagine? Falls to his knees and asks for him to be patient. I'm going to pay you. And then you say, I ain't got no compassion for you. I'm going to put you in prison. Forgetting that you've been forgiven of 10,000 talents. When I think about that, that's more than 10 times the taxes that the entire Israel nation had to pay. It shows me what type of mind frame this person had. Amen. This person was selfish and self-centered. They were a person that didn't appreciate the grace that was given to them. Hence, they was refusing to give others that same benefit of the doubt, that same chance to make things right. How would the Lord describe our aggressive actions against those who sin against us? Do you take the mindset to which you say, I'm never going to speak to them again? See, if you do realize there's folks in the church that might transgress against you. They're your brother in Christ, and you might take the mindset and say, you know what? That's it. I'm through with them. I will never speak to them again. You can take that approach. But then I ask myself, if we are to salute one another with a holy kiss, how can you take that approach and please God? Some will say, you know what? I'm going to speak evil of them to others. Have you ever done that?
Yes, sir.
If you're honest, you know, hey, I'm going to speak evil of them to others. Or maybe you might wish evil upon them in many different ways. You might even take it so far that, you know what? You might write them up in a brotherhood publication. You might post on Facebook their transgression. You might put it on Twitter. You might send a letter because you do realize Within the brotherhood, if you're in it long enough, you'll see folks will send letters to other congregations to warn you about people when they haven't taken the proper provisions to talk with that brother on a one-on-one basis to try to address it, to resolve it, but they might go public before they go private. But when you look at it, how do we respond? See, a proper action involves bearing the wrong, continuing to love, and extending mercy to them. Now, see, I'm married, and I realize sometimes I make my wife upset. She's not always pleased with me and vice versa, but God still expects us to love one another and to provide forgiveness. Amen. You know, when you think about different things, you know, we all have, we're made differently, but God expects us to forgive. And when you forgive, you forget. You got to move forward. Because if you don't move forward, it becomes a weight. It becomes a burden. It's something that will become a sin that will easily beset you. In Matthew 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." In James chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that show no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment." Now, do you want to live a life in which you have judgment without mercy? I could not imagine having judgment without mercy, because the wages of sin is death. If I didn't have God's mercy, I would have no chance to enter in the gates that are in heaven. But if we do not have the mindset to where we give mercy, scriptures have concluded that we will have judgment without mercy, because that's the standard that we're using. Now let's look at a divine demand in verse 31 through 34. "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done." So it was witnesses to the situation. Scriptures have led us to see that these individuals saw something. And they, you know, they were very sorry. And they told unto the Lord all was done. Verse 32. "Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest." Now, he forgave him all that debt because you asked. He didn't forgive it because you paid it or you made it right. But because you asked, I forgave you all of this. And he called him a wicked servant. Verse 33. "Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" So in other words, he's saying, I treated you this way. I showed you and I gave you an example of what you should follow and what you should do, and you didn't do that. See, when you look at that, you know, that shows how we can be. We really can be that as human beings. We can be wretched. We could be hard. We could be unforgiving. We could be unloving. We can be hypocritical. You know, many times we can say, man, look at this, what this brother's doing. They should be doing this. They should be doing that. And then we have things that we're not doing. And then others might pull you to the side and say, what? Did you ever do something like that? Have you ever come up short? Sometimes we have to be reminded that we need to be patient and we need to be loving. See, the Bible warns us about wrath, justice, and the judgment of God. In Hebrews 12 and 29, the Bible says, "For our God is a consuming fire." In Hebrews 10 and verse 31, the Bible says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Forgiveness after forgiveness is conditioned upon forgiveness. In Matthew 6 and verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, when I look at that, I will not take a chance with my soul of failing to forgive someone, knowing that I can only be forgiven if I'm willing to forgive others. Hence, I'm not going to hold grudges when someone comes to me and say, hey, please forgive me. I'm going to forgive you. I might not like what happened, but I'm going to forgive you because I know what I've done to God is much worse than what you've done to me. See, when you think about it from that perspective, it should help you understand that you must forgive because you want to be forgiven. We must be able to release one another of debt to us from deep within ourselves. Anger can keep us from it. The desire for more payment can keep us from it. The wishes of others can keep us from it. The passing of too much time can keep us from it. And pride can keep us from it. Is it possible? It is possible to pay attention to the details of God's word, yet forget the weightier matters of the law. Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye tithe of men in the eyes of none in coming, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Let us never be guilty of failing to extend mercy to our fellow man. This was the entire point of Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant. Let's look at verse 35. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." This is the point. Forgiveness is a gift from God. He expects us to forgive others. It's a requirement. It's an expectation. And if you fail to do it, you set yourself up for failure. You will live a life in which you will have judgment without mercy. And none of us, no matter how good we are good enough to have to be judged without mercy. Because if we judge without mercy, we're going to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that works iniquity." Though our debt has been canceled, there's still much that we owe to others. The Apostle Paul understood that he was a debtor to all men. In Romans 1:14, he said, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise." See, when you think about owing a debt, we owe a debt to each other. To be loving, to be caring, to be forgiving, to be patient. Because God has been all of that for us. We have an example that forgiveness in the scripture is quite plain. You must forgive if you want to be forgiven. Failure to do so will set you up. Now I want to close with Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Our brother Mark read this. But I want you to see, when it comes to forgiveness, the expectation and the reality that God has set. In Ephesians 4 and verse 32, let's look at 31. If I had time, I would tell you to read from Ephesians chapter 4, that whole chapter. There's so much in there. But I want you to see verse 31 and verse 32. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." It's a whole lot to consider. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." It makes me think of Romans 5. God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If he did that for us, he expects you to be willing to forgive others. Are you here today with an unforgiving heart? Are you holding grudges? Are you holding on to things from your past that hinders you from being all that you could be in the Lord? Don't miss heaven because you refuse to forgive others. You need to understand that the scripture is plain. You must forgive. If you're here today and you're a Christian, maybe you have strayed away. Maybe you haven't lived the life in which you've been forgiven. You haven't given others the forgiveness that God has granted you. You haven't given it in the way in which he told you to. You know you can make that right today. If you're here today, you never obeyed the gospel. God wants you to understand and know that Jesus left heaven, came to earth, and died on the cross. He wants you to believe that. He wants you to believe that so much that you are willing to repent of all your sins. Meaning, if you're doing something that's wrong, that's contrary to what Scripture says, that you're willing to change. If you do that and you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he has promised, if you put him on in baptism and you remain faithful unto death, that he will give you a crown of life. If you need a prayer, you know someone else, please come by. Together we stand and sing the invitational song.
Gently to